हरे कृष्णा। सो वेलकम टू भक्ति संगत जपक ग्रुप। टुडे वी आर सो फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस राधिका वल्लभ दास प्रभु जी टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्री चैतन्य भागवत मध्य खंड चैप्टर 1 वर्स नंबर 277 टू 283। थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रभु जी। दंडवत प्रणाम ऑल गुरुष्ट श्रील प्रभुपाद ऑल गुरुष्ट श्री गुरु महाराज। थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रभु जी फॉर गिविंग योर वेरी वैल्यूएबल टाइम एंड एसोसिएशन टू अस दिस मॉर्निंग एंड एनलाइटनिंग अस ऑन दिस टॉपिक। नाउ आई हैंड ओवर कॉल टू यू प्रभु जी। हरे कृष्णा।
हरे कृष्णा, कैन यू हियर मी?
यस प्रभु जी।
हरे कृष्ण,
हरे कृष्ण।
सो थैंक यू फॉर दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक समथिंग ऑन श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु चैतन्य भागवतम। सो बिगिन। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेव। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयन्ति नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भक्ति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोपिताय नमः। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वति देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो वेलकम ऑल द कम्युनिटीज फॉर दिस चैतन्य भागवतम क्लास। सो विल रीड फ्रॉम द चैतन्य भागवतम मध्यकांड चैप्टर 1 वर्स नंबर 277 टू 283। टू सेवेंटी सेवन। बद्धा भद्र मूर्ख द्विज जानी बेके मने इहा जानी कृष्ण बल कर अध्ययने। हाउल एन इग्नोरेंट ट्वाइस बॉन्ड नो व्हाट इज प्रॉपर एंड व्हाट इज नॉट। नोइंग दिस यू शुड चैंट द नेम ऑफ कृष्ण एंड कंसेंट्रेट ऑन योर स्टडीज। The word Bhadra Bhadra is a combination of the words Bhadra, Shreya or ultimate benefit, and Abhadra, Preya or temporary gratification, and means good and bad, beneficial and non-beneficial, auspicious and inauspicious, or proper and improper. Although a foolish person devoid of Vedic study may be a so-called Brahmana, he is not qualified to discriminate between good and bad. Therefore, if by your instructions your students become neglectful in their study of the scriptures and simply chant Krishna, Krishna, then they will not be able to understand what is right and what is wrong. Next shloka. Palamate Giya Shastra Vasiya Padav Vyatirikta Arthakara Mora Mata Kav. Go now, but promise me that you will teach the scriptures properly without any different meanings. The word Vyatirikta means opposite, contradictory, independent, separate or different. The words Mata Kav refers to the imposition of a vow on someone are the criteria for one's ruination. Prabhu bole tomara dui charana prasade navadvipe keha more napare vivade amiye vakainu sutra kariya kandana navadvipe taha stapike kona jana nagare vasiya yei padai mugiya deki kara shakti ache dusuka asiya. The Lord said, by the mercy of your feet, no one in Navadvipa can stand before me in debate. Who in Navadvipa can refute my explanations of the sutras? I will teach publicly in the middle of the city. Let me see who has the power to challenge me. For an elaboration on these verses, one should see Adikanda, verses 16 to 18, chapter 10. Harisha Haila Guru Shuniya Vachana Chalila Guru Rakari Charana Vandana. Gangadasa became pleased on hearing these words of the Lord, who then offered respects at his Guru's feet and departed. Gangadasa Pandita Charane Namaskara Vedapati Saraswati Pati Shishayandra. I offer my humble obeisances at the feet of Gangadasa Pandit, whose disciple is the Lord of the Vedas and master of the goddess of learning. For a description of the phrase Vedapati Saraswati Pati, one should refer to the statements of Lord Krishna to Uddhava found in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.26-43. Hare Krishna. So we are reading a very beautiful section, the interaction between Gangadas Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the scenario is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after coming from Bangladesh, after meeting Ishwara Puri, after taking Diksha from him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has started exhibiting the pastimes as a devotee. And since his return after meeting Ishwara Puri, he is completely absorbed in Krishna. And his students went to meet Nimai Pandit to learn the regular grammar lessons. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started explaining everything in terms of Krishna. He started explaining all the grammatical rules, all the verbs in the Sanskrit grammar, everything in terms of Krishna and his pastimes and his qualities. So then these students got bewildered actually. Our teacher is not teaching the grammar lessons properly. And they went and actually reported this to Nimai Pandit's guru, that is Gangadas Pandit. And then in the afternoon, they go along with Nimai Pandit, Vishwambar, to meet Gangadas Pandit. And Gangadas Pandit is actually instructing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is what we are seeing in the verses. He is telling to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that if you stop teaching the Shastra, how will your students know what is auspicious and what is inauspicious, what is Bhadra and what is Abhadra? And after knowing what is Bhadra and Abhadra, you should chant the name of Krishna and concentrate on your studies. Because you stopped teaching them grammar, and then if you are chanting only Krishna, by seeing you, your other students will also become neglectful of their studies. And then if they simply keep chanting Krishna, Krishna, then they will not be able to understand what is right and what is wrong. Therefore, please promise me that you will teach the scriptures without any different meanings. Please promise me that you will teach the scriptures in the proper way, not that different meanings means the way of explaining everything in terms of Krishna. And then Mahaprabhu is replying Gangadas Pandit's instruction. He is saying that, yeah, by your mercy, I am such a great debater, nobody can stand in front of me in the debate. Let me see who has the power to challenge me. Mahaprabhu sort of actually obeyed Gangadas Pandit's instruction, and Gangadas Pandit became pleased on hearing Mahaprabhu's response. Then Mahaprabhu departed, and Vrindavan Das Thakur says that we offer obeisances to Gangadas Pandit, whose disciple is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Lord of the Vedas, and who is the master of Saraswati. So it's such a beautiful section. How we can see here, this section is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his return from Gaya, meeting Ishwarapuri, is like completely absorbed in Krishna. He is seeing the every grammatical rule in relation to Krishna. He started exhibiting the behavior of a Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari Bhagavatam says that Sarva Bhuteshu Yaha Pashyet Bhavam Avyayam Atmanah. In every situation, Uttama Adhikari sees only Krishna. But Uttama Adhikari, he is completely absorbed in Krishna. He is not aware of the externals of this world at all. He is completely absorbed in his internal absorption in Krishna. Or we can say, so Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the Uttama Adhikari mood. We know that there is a Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. But in order to function in this world, one needs to come down to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. So we can see this section in a way that Gangadas Pandit is trying to bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the Uttama Adhikari platform to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Because in the Uttama Adhikari platform, in his absorption in Krishna, he is not able to, he is not performing his normal duties as a grammar teacher. He is bringing him to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. Or another way to see is that Baladeva Vidyabhushan, the Bhagavad Gita commentary, he talks about three types of devotees, or three levels of devotees. Sanishta Bhakta, Parinishta Bhakta, and Nirapeksha Bhakta. So these three levels of Bhaktas are classified in terms of Varnashram Dharma and the Bhagavata Dharma. So when we talk about Dharma, there is Dharma of the body and Dharma of the soul. Dharma of the body is called as Varnashram Dharma. Dharma of the soul is the Bhagavata Dharma. That means the soul's Dharma towards the Bhagavan, that is loving devotional service. So based on the approach towards the Varnashram Dharma and the Bhagavata Dharma, these three levels of devotees are described. Sanishta Bhakta, he worships Krishna only by performing the Varnashram Dharma. He performs the Varnashram Dharma as a worship of Krishna. That is the Sanishta Bhakta. Parinishta Bhakta, he worships Krishna by performing the Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Atmanivedanam. He worships Krishna mainly by this Bhagavata Dharma, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. But he also performs Varnashram Dharma in order to set example for others. He does not neglect the Varnashram Dharma. And then there is Nirapeksha Bhakta. Nirapeksha Bhakta is completely absorbed only in the Bhagavata Dharma 24 hours a day. He has nothing to do with the Varnashram Dharma. That is a Nirapeksha Bhakta. In this way, these three levels of devotees are classified. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after coming from Puri, he was behaving like a Nirapeksha Bhakta, because he stopped doing his duty of a grammar teacher, which is a Varnashram Dharma. Or he is teaching the grammar only in terms of Krishna, talking about Krishna's qualities, pastimes, Krishna's names. So Gangadas Pandit, so therefore the students complained to Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas Pandit is bringing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from the platform of a Nirapeksha Bhakta to the Parinishta Bhakta. He is telling Mahaprabhu, you be a good devotee, but at the same time, you must perform the duty of a Brahmana. You must teach the Shastras. Otherwise, your teachers, your students, without knowing the Shastras, they will not know what is good and what is bad. Therefore, Gangadas Pandit is trying to bring down Mahaprabhu from the Nirapeksha Bhakta to the Parinishtita Bhakta. Or we can say he is trying to bring Mahaprabhu from Uttamadhikari to the Madhyamadhikari platform. Because if we see, for the world to function, Nirapeksha Bhakta is just completely absorbed in Krishna. He does not care about the society. He does not care about any aspect of Varnashram Dharma. For example, one of the example of a Nirapeksha Bhakta is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, he exhibits the consciousness of a Nirapeksha Bhakta. He says, Muktam mam nigadantu niti nipuna prantam muhur vaidika mandam bandava sanchaya jadadiyam muktadara sodara unmattam danino viveka chatura kamam mahatambikam moktum nakshamate managapi mano govinda padaspruham. So a Nirapeksha Bhakta does not care about the opinion of the worldly people. Mugdam mam nigadantu, let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned. I don't mind. Prantam muhur vaidika, experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda. So Nirapeksha Bhakta, he does not worry about the worldly opinion only. He is completely absorbed in his eternal thing. And Madhavendra Puri also explains this consciousness of a Nirapeksha Bhakta in another verse. Sandhya Vandana Badramastu Bhavato Bo Snana Tubhyam Namo Bo Deva Pitarascha Tarpana Vidau Nakam Kshamak Shamyatam Yatra Kvapi Vrishadhya Yadava Kulottamasya Kamsad Vushaha Kulottamasasya Kamsad Vushaha Smaram Smaram Agam Harami Tadalam Manye Kim Anyena Me. Oh, my evening Sandhyavandana prayer, all good unto you. Oh, my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. Oh, devatas and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all the reactions to sins simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of further endeavors? So a Nirapeksha Bhakta, he does not worry about all the Varnashram duties. Let me say goodbye to Sandhya Vandanam, Shraddha, Deva, Yajnas, the Devatas, taking bath, etc. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has become callous, because of his total absorption in Krishna, he is not performing his duty as a grammar teacher. And therefore, Gangadas Pandit is instructing him to, in a way, he is bringing him to the platform of a Parinishta Bhakta, or he is bringing the platform of Madhyama Adhikari. So in this world, the world will function, or the Krishna conscious society will function only by the help of the Sanishta Bhaktas and Parinishta Bhaktas. Because only these two Bhaktas, they perform their Varnashram duties. Only when they perform the Varnashram duties, they can create the future legacy. Nirapeksha Bhakta is not concerned about the Varnashram. He is totally absorbed. We can take inspiration, but he cannot create a future legacy. But only Paha. Therefore, our Krishna conscious society very much needs the Parinishta Bhakta and the Sanishta Bhaktas. That means Parinishta Bhakta is a responsible devotee, who is a devotee but who also responsibly performs his Varnashram duty. Sanishta Bhakta, he may not perform the Sadhana Bhakti, but he is very responsible in terms of Varnashram Dharma and he worships, performs them as an offering to Krishna. So only by these two devotees, our society will be able to create a legacy. Our world will function, society will function. So we see in the Bhagavatam also, Prabhupada gives an example of Priyavrata Maharaj as an example of a devotee who came down from the Uttamadhikari platform to the Madhyamadhikari platform. So Priyavrata Maharaj is in the Uttamadhikari platform called as Bhagavata Atma Rama. He was in the ashram of Narada Muni for a long time. But then there was a need of a king. King means administration, punishing criminals, ruling the people. Those king's duties can be performed only by a person who is in the Madhyamadhikari platform. So in order to bring a person from the Uttamadhikari platform to the Madhyamadhikari platform, there is a need of an intervention of another devotee, especially some superiors. So Priyavrata Maharaj, He could be brought back to the Madhyamadhikari platform by the help of the superiors like Brahma, Lord Shiva, personified Vedas, etc. And here Mahaprabhu is being brought to the Madhyamadhikari platform or the Parinishta platform by the superiors like Gangadas Pandit. On the opposite, we see like sometimes a conditioned soul is completely absorbed in sense gratification. And here Mahaprabhu is absorbed in Krishna, but in order to bring him to the external platform and also make him perform the Varnashram duties, Gangadas Pandit is instructing. Sometimes a conditioned soul may be absorbed in Kama Rasa. He may be absorbed in Vishaya Bhoga. And in order to awaken him, a devotee sometimes gives a curse like Narada curse, Nalakuvar and Manigiri. Sometimes a devotee practicing bhakti, he may become absorbed in certain Vishaya Bhoga or material emotions, like Bharat Maharaj became absorbed in some false compassion. So sometimes in order to bring back a devotee, another devotee may have to pull him back. Like Mahaprabhu pulled Kala Krishnadas back by pulling his shika, who became absorbed in this attraction towards the Bhattaharis. So in that case also there is an external intervention required. A person absorbed in Vishaya Bhoga, in order to bring him back to the senses, in order to bring him back to the right path, a devotee needs to interfere in his life and bring him back, either by giving a shapa or by pulling him back, by pulling the shika or giving him instruction like that. And we see other instances, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once when he heard the Jagannath Puri, when he heard the song sung by a Devadasi, and he became so absorbed, he started running in the direction of that song, and he wanted to embrace that person who was singing. But that was a lady, and Govinda came running, and then he told Mahaprabhu, just when he was about to embrace that lady, Govinda told, please, he stopped Mahaprabhu and told that you are about to embrace a lady. So at that time, Mahaprabhu came to his senses. Oh, if only you had not stopped me, I would have committed suicide. So here what we see is that Govinda brought Mahaprabhu from the Uttama Adhikari platform to the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Or he brought Mahaprabhu from the Nirapeksha Bhakta to the Parinishta Bhakta. He made him aware of the external surroundings. Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the three states of consciousness of Mahaprabhu. Complete external consciousness, complete internal consciousness, and half external and half internal consciousness. Half external, half internal, complete external and complete internal consciousness. Mahaprabhu would be in one of these three consciousness. For example, once Mahaprabhu he became absorbed in Krishna. He saw the Chataka Parvata. And then he started running. He thought it to be a Govardhan hill. And then he started running. And he was running at such great speed. And then devotees were trying to follow him. And then they were finding tough to maintain the speed of Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu ran for a long time, and then finally he became unconscious and then collapsed in the ground. And the devotees reached there, and in order to bring Mahaprabhu back, they started chanting the holy names. And they started chanting the holy names loudly for a long time. And after a long time, Mahaprabhu opened his eyes, and then he told the devotees, "So where did you bring me? Why did you bring me here? I was actually plucking flowers in the Govardhan. I was assisting the gopis. They engaged me in the plucking flowers. And they engaged me in the service of Radha Krishna. Why did you bring me here?" So Mahaprabhu, he came down from complete internal consciousness to half external, half internal consciousness by the devotee's kirtan. He's still in that internal consciousness somewhat. He's remembering that I was plucking flowers. At the same time, he's recognizing the devotees, therefore half external, half internal. And then after some time, Mahaprabhu's superiors, Brahmananda Bharati and Bhagavan Acharya, they arrived there. That they were old, they took a long time to reach that place. When Mahaprabhu saw them, then he immediately offered obeisances to them. He came to the complete external consciousness. So in this way, Mahaprabhu was oscillating between complete external, complete internal to half external, half internal, complete internal. And so here we see that a devotee, like here in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in such a devotee who is in a nirapeksha bhakta, but ordinary people cannot relate with the nirapeksha bhakta, because nirapeksha bhakta is completely absorbed in Krishna and he has nothing to do with varnashram. So ordinary people will find it difficult to relate with the nirapeksha bhakta. And especially when the nirapeksha bhakta is also having a role in this world, then he has to come down to the parinishtha platform. Uttama adhikari has to come to the madhyama adhikari platform. Then only he will be able to, then the common people will be able to relate with him. Then he will be able to have proper dealings with the other people. Therefore, Gangadas Pandit is actually bringing Mahaprabhu to the madhyama adhikari platform, or he is bringing Mahaprabhu to the parinishtha platform. Because a parinishtha devotee, he performs bhakti and also he performs the varnashram duty. That is what Gangadas Pandit is saying. You chant the holy names, but you perform your duty as a grammar teacher. Otherwise, how will this, if you don't perform this, then how will these students learn from you? They will not be able to understand what is right and what is wrong. So, we see that one of the points Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati writes in the purport is that when the Brahmana becomes neglectful of the studies, he cannot understand what is beneficial and what is not beneficial. Marga babuvu sandigdas trinaischanna chasamskrita nabhyasyamana shrutayo dvijai kalena chakata. During the rainy season in the villages, there are small pathways, they become covered with the grass and debris. And therefore, it becomes difficult to make out that particular path, which was previously visible to the common people, but now because of being covered with the grass, now it is difficult to understand that particular path. So similarly, when the religious scriptures are not studied by the Brahmanas become corrupted, and then because the Brahmanas become corrupted, the society will also become corrupted. The Brahmanas fail to perform the duty, the society will also become corrupted. Therefore, the Niti Shastra says, a king becomes ruined by bad advisors. A son becomes ruined because of excessive pampering. A Brahmana becomes ruined by neglecting the Shastra. A family becomes ruined because of a bad son. One's conduct becomes ruined because of association of the wicked people. Agriculture becomes ruined because of not supervising the land regularly. One's decency and shyness is ruined when a person consumes liquor. One's prosperity is ruined because of deceitful dealings. And one's wealth is ruined when a person neglects to give charity to the right people. So here, the Brahmanas should not neglect their studies. Therefore, Gangadas Pandit is, for the benefit of the students, is telling Mahaprabhu to perform his duty. So, so we see here in this episode, Gangadas Pandit is bringing Mahaprabhu to the Brahmapa Parinishtita devotee. He is telling him to perform his Varnashram duties. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, when he is instructing Bhagavad Gita, he is telling Arjuna to act on the platform of a Parinishtita devotee. And this comes in the third chapter of the Gita. The third chapter, Krishna speaks about Karma Yoga. Arjuna does not want to perform his karmas, does not want to perform his Varnashram duties. He wants to perform only the Jnana Yoga. He wants to renounce everything and go to the forest and become a sannyasi. So Krishna is giving different reasons to Arjuna to perform Karma Yoga. One of the reasons he gives is that for the sake of setting right example for the common people, you have to perform karma yoga. You may be qualified for performing jnana yoga. You may be qualified for renouncing the karmas. But then you are in the position of a leader. So therefore, for the sake of the others, you must perform karma yoga. You should not neglect your karmas. So I will go through some of the verses in the third chapter, Gita. Krishna says that, karma naiva hi samsiddhim astito janakadayaha. Loka sangraham evapi sampashyan kartumargasi. Great people like Janaka, they were qualified for jnana yoga. But then he performed karma yoga and he attained perfection. By considering the welfare of the common people, they also want to perform jnana yoga, but they are not qualified for jnana yoga. They are qualified only for karma yoga. Janaka is qualified for jnana yoga, but he is not qualified, but he performed karma yoga for the sake of the common people. So similarly, you must also perform the karma yoga. So Janaka is called as a Raja Rishi. So Raja Rishi is a combination of two words, Raja and Rishi. What is the quality of a Raja? Agada Vistirna Manasaha. One who has a very broad mind. Rishi means one who has faith in the meanings which are beyond the senses. So Rishi, because he has faith in those things which are beyond the senses, he has faith in the moksha, he has faith in the Atma Sakshatkara, a Rishi is qualified to perform meditation on the Atma. So Janaka Maharaj, being a Rishi, is qualified to perform meditation on Atma. He is qualified for Jnana Yoga. He can give up the karmas. But because he also has the quality of a Raja. And what is the quality of a Raja? Agada Vistirna Manasaha, one who has a very broad mind. Because he has the quality of a Raja, out of compassion towards the common people, although he is qualified to perform jnana yoga, he comes down and he performs the karma yoga. He performs karma yoga. So therefore, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you must also perform karma yoga. So there is a story concerning Janaka Maharaj. Janaka was a disciple of Yajnavalkya. And Yajnavalkya had a great affection towards Janaka Maharaj. He would start the Upadesha only after Janaka arrives, even though some other rishis were present in the class. So other rishis thought that, why is Yajnavalkya waiting for this king, worldly king? Probably he is interested in some special dakshina from Janaka. Therefore he is showing special favor to Janaka. They thought like that. So Yajnavalkya understood what is going on in the mind of these rishis. He wanted to teach them a lesson. So one day while teaching Shastra, by his yoga siddhis, he created a situation as if the whole ashram is on fire. So all the rishis immediately ran to protect their wealth. But Janaka was simply sitting there very calmly. And when they came back, Yajnavalkya said, the whole Mithila belongs to Janaka, but he does not think that the wealth belongs to him. He does not have that attachment. So even though everything was on fire, he did not put effort to protect himself. Because although he is surrounded by wealth, he is surrounded by opulences, but he has completely internalized the teachings of the Atma and Paramatma. Therefore, in his mind, he does not have any Kartrutva Buddhi and he does not have attachment to any of the sense objects. But on the other hand, although you are externally renounced, but internally you have attachment, therefore you immediately went to protect your wealth. So therefore, because Janaka is so pure, therefore I wait every day for Janaka to come in order to begin my Upadesha. So, so here Krishna is giving that example of a Janaka. And the same Janaka Maharaj in Krishna's previous incarnation as Ram, and Janaka was the father-in-law of Ram. When Ram was going to the forest, Sita also wanted to come along with Ram. But Ram told Sita to stay back, and Sita told Ram, Kimtva manyata vaideha pitame mitiladipaha Rama jamataram prapya striyam purusha vigraham. O Ram, while accepting you as son-in-law, did my father, the king of Mithila, the lord of Videha, ever think that you are a woman in the guise of a man? So Sita is actually Sita is taunting Ram. If you leave me and go to the forest, my father will think that you are simply a woman in the guise of a man. Striyam Purusha Vigraham. So here, he will think that, oh, you are not able to give protection to me. Or Sita is also making another point. My father, Janaka Maharaj, he always performs karma yoga. He very meticulously performs all the karmas. And in order to perform the karmas, the yajna karmas, one needs the help of a wife. Without the wife, a grihastha cannot perform the yajna karmas. Usually the yajna karmas, even when the husband gives charity, the wife should keep her hand on the shoulder of the husband. If the wife is not there, husband cannot perform the yajna karmas. So my father performs the karmas very religiously. And if you alone go to the forest, you will not be able to perform the yajna karmas without me. And when you stop all your yajna karmas, what will my father think about you? Like that, Sita is actually reminding Ram. So anyway, so here Krishna is remembering his father-in-law in his previous avatar, is giving that example of Janaka to Arjuna. And then Krishna says that, Yadyat acharati sreshta tatat yeve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokastat anuvartate. Says that whatever a great person who is famous for his knowledge and conduct, whatever he practices, the common folk will follow the same practices. In whatever measure or manner the venerable person performs those karmas, the common folks in this world will follow in the same manner. So when the great persons, when they perform certain actions, that becomes a standard for the common people to perform. So pramana here in this verse, it means measurement. Normally pramana means evidence, pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana. Here pramana means measurement. That means to whatever extent a great person performs certain karmas, to the same extent common people follow those karmas. For example, if you take marriage, the main activity in marriage is what? Saptapadi, Panigrahana, Mangalya Dharanam. These are the main activities in the Vivaha Samskara. But apart from these main activities, there are also other ancillary or auxiliary activities, like in South India, there is like Kashi Yatra is there, or seeing the Vasishta Arundhati star, Shaligram Dana is there. Like that, there are different ancillary activities before and after the main activities. So, how much we perform the ancillary activities? How do we determine? By seeing what the great people have done in the past. How they have done in the past, based on that, we also perform those activities. Nowadays, in the marriage, there are like Western intrusion in the marriage. pre-wedding shootout, reception, these are all Western intervention in the marriage ceremony. These have come up actually, but when we see the great people, whether they have performed these activities in their marriage, we will see that they have not performed, but then these things have become a standard nowadays. So, Sayat Pramanam Kurute, whether it is marriage or any other activity, the actions of the great people, that becomes a standard for the common people. And then Krishna says, Name Parthasti Kartavyam Trishlokeshu Kinchana. Nanavaptam avaptavyam vartayevacha karmani. He says that, hey Partha, for me who is Sarveshwaran, name Parthasti, for me there is no duty in the three worlds. There does not exist any duty which is ought to be done in the three worlds. And I have nothing to attain by performing certain duties. There is nothing which is unattained by me. But still, I remain steadfast in the performance of my varnashram karmas suitable to the time and circumstances, suitable to my incarnations. So, na me partha asti, na me. The word me here refers to, me refers to Krishna. What Krishna? Krishna who is Sarveshwara, who is the controller of everyone. Krishna who is the source of the Vedas. That means because he is the source of the Vedas, he is not bound to follow the Vedas. He is above the law. He has only given the Shastra. Shastra controls everyone, but Shastra cannot control the Krishna. So that is what is indicated by the word may. And may also indicates avapta samasta kama. That means he is not lacking in anything. There is nothing which he has to attain in his life. And may also indicates Krishna who has satya sankalpa shakti. That means even if Krishna wants to do something, he can do something simply by his thought. He can accomplish that simply by his thinking, by his satya sankalpa shakti. He does not have to physically perform that activity. But that Krishna, who is Sarveshwara, who is the source of the Vedas, who is the avapta samasta kama, who is having the satya sankalpa shakti, that Krishna, he performs his varnashram duties very meticulously. He performs the varnashram duties very meticulously. And he says, Trishilokeshu Pinchana. Trishilokeshu means, it has different meanings. That means in Bhurloka, Bhuvarloka and Swarloka. Whether I incarnate in Bhurloka or Bhuvarloka or in Swarloka, I perform my varnashram duties. Or Trishilokeshu can mean Bhumandalam and the six planets above the Bhumandalam and the seven planets below the Bhumandalam. Whether I incarnate in Bhumandalam or above the Bhumandalam, any of the six planets, or whether I incarnate in the seven planets below the Bhumandalam, wherever I incarnate, I perform my Varnashram Dharmas. A Trishilokeshu can refer to whether I incarnate as a Deva or whether I incarnate as a Manushya or as an animal. In whichever form I am there, I perform the role according to that. I perform the dharmas of that role meticulously. Varnashram dharma. And then Krishna says that Yadi Hyayamna Varteyam Jatu Karman Yatandritaha Mama Vartmanu Vartante Manushya Partha Sarvashaha. Hey Partha, if I Sarveshwara, who is avapta samasta kama, who is having the satya sankalpa shakti. If I become negligent in my varnashram duties, yadi ayamna varteyam, if I do not perform my varnashram duties, then mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha, then the common people of this world, they will follow my path and they will stop performing their varnashram duties. So in the first part of the sentence, he is taking the verb in a hypothetical sense. Yadi kyayam na varteyam. Varteyam is in the hypothetical sense. If I do not perform my varnashram duties. But the second part of the sentence, he is using the verb in the certainty. Mama vartmanu vartante. People will follow my path. They will stop performing their varnashram duties. He is not telling in a hypothetical sense. People may stop performing their varnashram duties. For example, if I say, if there is a rain tomorrow, there is a probably there may not be an IPL match tomorrow. So here in both the sentences, first part also hypothetical verb, the second part also there is a possibility there may not be an IPL cricket match. But here Krishna is damn sure, if I do not perform my varnashram duties, common people will stop performing their varnashram duties. He is telling with certainty. Therefore, we say, whichever incarnation, even as a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will give example for that also. Trishilokeshu means in any incarnation, whether I appear as a human or a deva or as a manushya or as an animal, whichever incarnation, I perform my varnashram duties. And then Krishna says, Utsideyur ime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sankarasya cha kartasyam upakanyam ima prajaha. So one may get the question, okay, if you, maybe even if you don't perform your varnashram duties, the people can read the shastra on their own and then they will perform their varnashram duties. Why are they dependent on you performing your varnashram duties? They will read the shastras on their own. They will perform their varnashram duties. Now Krishna says that no. Because common people, because there are so many shastras, it is difficult to study for the common people to study all the shastras for the common people. And our own common people, in our own life also, for example, when you started chanting Hare Krishna, is it that only after completing the entire 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam did we start chanting Hare Krishna? After reading the 700 shlokas of Gita and 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam, after reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we started chanting Hare Krishna? No. We developed some faith in some devotee by their logical explanation. And then we saw their conduct and then we started following the different rules. That is how common people, by seeing the conduct of the acharya, some devotees, then they stop performing the varnashram duties. So therefore, Krishna is sure that if I stop performing varnashram duties, people will stop performing their varnashram duties. And it will result in Varna Sankara. Sankara means what? Mixing of the Varnas. That means mixing of the Varnashram. When a Brahmana starts, when a Kshatriya stops performing his duty, then somebody else who is not a Kshatriya will end up performing the Kshatriya duty. There will be a mixing of the Varnas. And that will result in the chaos in the society. So in this way, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is in the role of a teacher and he is instructing Arjuna to act on the platform of a Parinishthita Bhakta. He is telling him to perform the Varnashram duties. In the Chaitanya Bhagavata here, Krishna, as a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in the role of a student here and Gangadas Pandit is the teacher and Gangadas Pandit is telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, you chant Hare Krishna, but you perform your duty as a grammar teacher. Otherwise, these common people, they will not be able to learn anything. They will not be able to learn. So, Gangadas Pandit is bringing Mahaprabhu to the platform of Parinishthita Bhakta. So, we see even as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even when he took sannyas, if you say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes when he goes in, sometimes he exhibits the nirapeksha bhakta, sometimes he exhibits the mood of a uttamadhikari bhakta, where he is completely absorbed in his internal consciousness. And there are instances in his life where he comes down to the madhyamadhikari platform, he comes down to the parinishtha bhakta, he comes down to the external consciousness. We already saw some examples. In the when Mahaprabhu was in Puri, the devotees were requesting Mahaprabhu to give audience to give his association to Prataprudra Maharaj. So they were requesting Mahaprabhu repeatedly. And they were telling Mahaprabhu that, I'll read some verses, then I'll end with that. They were telling Mahaprabhu that, this king is a great devotee. So Mahaprabhu said that, Prabhu kahe tatapi raja kala sarpakara, kashtanari sparsheyeche upaje vikara. Although it is correct that king is a great devotee, but he is still to be considered a venomous snake. So even though your woman may be made of wood, but one becomes agitated by touching her form. So here, Mahaprabhu is exhibiting how he is exhibiting his role as a sannyasi, how a sannyasi should be cautious in associating with the worldly people. Because the Niti says that, Yatir Sangat Vinashyati. A Yati, a sannyasi, falls down from his position by his association with the worldly people or by his association with the women. So Mahaprabhu, therefore he is saying that even though he may be a great devotee, but he is in the role of a king. Then Ramananda Rai told Mahaprabhu, please show your lotus feet to the king at least once. Then Mahaprabhu said, my dear Ramananda, you should make this request after duly considering whether it is befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. Indeed, what is there to say of the next world? In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. Now, Ramananda Rai said that, but you are the supreme personality. You have nothing to fear from anyone because you are not dependent on anyone. You are the Sarveshwara. You are the source of the Vedas. Why do you need to worry about these external rules? Prabhu kahe ami manushya ashrame sannyasi. Kayamano vakye vyavahare bhayavasi. He said, I am not the supreme personality of Godhead. I am an ordinary human being. I am the sannyasa ashram. I must fear the public opinion in three ways. Through my actions in my body, mind and words. If they find even a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they will advertise as if it is like a wildfire. A black spot of pink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always very prominent. Then Ramananda Rai said that, my dear Lord, you have delivered so many sinful people. And this king is actually a servitor and your devotee. Then Mahaprabhu said that, there may be much milk in a big pot, but if it is contaminated by a drop of liquor, it is untouchable. The king may possess many good qualities, but simply by taking the name of the king, he has infected everything. So here we see how Mahaprabhu is exhibiting his awareness to the externals. How he should be, his awareness to the externals, and he is exhibiting a responsible behavior as a sannyasi. Performing the Varnashram Dharma of a sannyasi, which is a Parinishtita Bhakta, because Parinishtita Bhakta is aware of the surroundings. Sometimes the Mahaprabhu gets absorbed in a Nirapeksha Bhakta's mood, but at that time some other devotee brings him back to the external. Govinda brought him back. And the devotee chanted the holy names and brought him back. And then Brahmananda Bharati, they brought him back. So therefore, in our life, we cannot imitate the level of a Nirapeksha Bhakta. We are not in that level. We are expected to behave like a Parinishtita Bhakta. That means we perform our sadhana bhakti very carefully. And we are supposed to responsibly perform our varnashram duties. So, as I mentioned, Janaka Maharaj, Krishna says that I don't have any duties, but still I perform those duties. Why? That is because Krishna's compassion. When a person has compassion, he comes down from a superior platform to the lower platform for the sake of the common people. Out of compassion, a Uttamadhikari comes down to the Madhyamadhikari platform. Out of compassion, Nirapeksha Bhakta comes down to the Parinishtita Bhakta. So out of compassion, the Lord actually comes down to the lower platform. He has nothing to, he is completely transcendental. He performs the varnashram duties, whether as a sannyasi or as a kshatriya or as a brahmana, whichever role. So, and also in the last verse, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the source of the Vedas, but he is offering respects to Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas Pandit is the incarnation of Sandipani Muni. So I will just read a few shlokas. But there are many shlokas in this connection, but a few shlokas. Krishna is the source of the Vedas. He is the master of the Vedas, he is the master of the goddess Saraswati, but he is behaving as a student of Gangadas Pandit. To thus Gangadhar Pandit, to that Gangadas Pandit, I offer my obeisances, like that Vrindavandas Thakur says. There is a beautiful shloka in the Padma Puran, which Rupa Goswami quotes. Vyamohaya characharasya jagatas. Tete puranagamas tam tam yeva hi devatam paramikam jalpantu kalpavadi siddhante punareka eva bhagavan vishnu samasthagama vyapareshu vivechana vyatikaram niteshu nischiyate. So this says that let the Puranas and other scriptures glorify here and there for a Kalpa. Kalpa means the day of Brahma. The greatness of the respective Devatas in order to produce illusion in the people of this world. But after taking account of all the varieties of interpretation, their conclusion is that Vishnu alone is the Supreme Lord. Another shloka, again quoted by Rupa Goswami, we see that there are so many shastras which glorify different devatas, but when you properly analyze, deliberate on all the shastras, finally, one will come to the conclusion, Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Another shloka, Amnaya Pratitanvaya Smritimati Padam Shadango Jvala Nyaye Yanugata Purana Sugruda Mimamsaya Mandita Vam Labda Vasara Chirat Gurukule Prekshas Vasangartinam Vidya Nama Vadu Chaturdashaguna Govinda Shushrushate. O Govinda, the bride of knowledge with the 14 branches, whose lineage is distributed by the four Vedas. and which includes the Smritis, is made brilliant by the Shadangas, is followed by the Shad Darshanas, is assisted by the Puranas, and decorated with the Karma and the Jnanakandas. This bride, known as knowledge, seeing you eager for gaining her association at the house of your guru, Sandipani Muni, this bride of knowledge desires to serve you, finding this opportunity after a long time. So Krishna is the source of all the knowledge. But when Vidya Devi saw that Krishna is eager to gain her association in the house of Sandipani Muni, the bride of knowledge desires to serve Krishna. It's described in the, I think, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Sandipani Muni is compared to the mountain, I think. So Krishna is compared to the ocean. The water in the ocean gets evaporated and by the clouds. And when the clouds pour forth rain, and then because rainwater comes from the mountain and the river finally enters into the ocean. So ocean is a source of the water, but the mountain brings the water from the ocean back to the ocean by the rivers which emanate from the mountain. So Krishna is like the ocean, Sandipani Muni is like the mountain. So Krishna is the source of all the knowledge, but Sandipani Muni taught Krishna the knowledge, and that knowledge in the form of the water again entered into Krishna. So here the same Sandipani Muni is appeared as Gangadas Pandit. So thus Gangadas Pandit, we offer our respectful obeisances. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Sorry. Go ahead, Mataji.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to thank Prabhuji for the very good class. It was actually difficult for us to understand initially why Gangadas Pandit was doing that when Lord Chaitanya is a Supreme Lord. And that was the purpose of his descent, and he was behaving like this. But then very nicely, logically, he helped us understand the reason why Gangadas Pandit actually asked him to hold off his emotions and continue studies. And also the different examples from scripture that he gave, and like from the Ramayana and other places. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own life, where sometimes he was in three different states of consciousness, and how sometimes he had to be withheld from exhibiting these emotions. So it was very, very nice, Prabhu, very comprehensively, very nicely covered all the instances, and you made us understand the reason why these verses are like this. Thank you so much. It really cleared a lot of confusion.
Thank you for engaging me. To speak a few words in the glorification of the Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna devotees, anyone have any questions to the realization for Prabhuji? Prabhuji, you have time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. It was enlightening, and also hearing the Gangadas Pandit what is Sandipani Muni. So they were the eternal associate of Lord Krishna. So The question is
Your
like,
voice is a little less audible.
Is it? Yeah.
Now it's better.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Now it is better. Yes.
Okay. Prabhu, my question is like, I was hearing that as you are saying that through the devotional service, the knowledge will be revealed to us. So, can you tell a little bit something about it, Prabhu?
So the devotional service, knowledge will be revealed.
Yes.
And then what are you asking?
I didn't really, I didn't understand. Can you give us some understanding about that?
Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayatakaitikam. Bhagavatam says that we are performing devotional service to Krishna, jnana and vairagya appear in the person. The person gets knowledge and also detachment. So, suppose sometimes a person may not have the aptitude to read the shastras. One may not be able to know the language, may be illiterate. But if the person is actually sincere in the discharge of bhakti, the Krishna gives the knowledge from within. Tesham sarada yuktana rajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. So why Krishna has to give the knowledge? Because when we perform bhakti, without following the shruti and smriti, that bhakti will only create a disturbance in the society. Shruti smriti puranadi pancharatrika vidim vina aikantiki harer bhaktir utpata yaiva kalpate. When a person performs bhakti by disregarding the instructions of the shruti and smriti, it only creates a disturbance in the society. But if somebody does not have the aptitude to read the shruti, smriti, shastras, if that person is sincere, to such a sincere devotee, a special arrangement is given by Krishna where he reveals that knowledge from within his heart. Of course, when we have the ability, when we have whatever capacity we have, we should try to put our effort to understand the shastras. We should not be neglectful, we should not be careless. But at the same time, sometimes if somebody is not having the ability, somebody is unable to. But if one is sincere, Krishna gives the knowledge. Mrugari, Narada Muni just told Mrugari to chant the holy names of Ram, holy names of the Lord. But later when he came, Mrugari, by the chanting of the holy names, he got the knowledge from within how he should be, he should not harm other living entities. That knowledge was revealed to him, that he was not even wanting to harm an ant. So that is what did you understand this?
Yes. And Prabhupada, is it that like, I didn't understand, like, through the devotional service, knowledge will be revealed to us. So that knowledge is devotion?
Knowledge will be revealed. The knowledge about knowledge means what? Knowledge about the Krishna's qualities, pastimes. For example, holy name reveals the Nama Rupa Guna Leela. That way we can say. Or by devotional service, knowledge is revealed means sometimes there are situations of Dharma Sankata. Should I do this or should I do that? There is a conflict between a conflict in a decision where both the options seem to be right. Both are different options of Dharma. Arjuna was caught between should I punish Ashwatthama, should I kill Ashwatthama, or should I not punish Ashwatthama? Because two different parties were giving two different advice to Arjuna. So at that time, Arjuna was told by Krishna to satisfy all the parties. Evam parikshita dharmam. Should I punish Ashwatthama? Should I show mercy to Ashwatthama? So at that time, the knowledge was revealed by Krishna to Arjuna within. And Arjuna took a very mature decision. He gave appropriate punishment, neither more nor less. In that way, knowledge will be revealed means knowledge how to make different decisions during the situations of Dharma Sankata. Knowledge about the different aspects of the Shastra. Knowledge about Krishna's qualities, like that, other things. Because we should put our effort to, as I mentioned that, we should also put our effort when we have the, whatever capacity we have, should try to understand the Shastra also. But apart from that, when we are sincere, Krishna also reveals the knowledge.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Sivakumar.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavatams Prabhu. Prabhu, thank you so much for the class today. Prabhu, my question is regarding the carrying out the Varnashrama Dharma, Prabhu, that you talked about. In my case, Prabhu, it's just me who is practicing bhakti, and there is no none in the family is practicing bhakti. And I do not come from a background which is conducive for practicing bhakti either. So given this situation, Prabhu, the expectations of the material life itself seem to be there is a large gap, Prabhu, in terms of, you know, my your needs are my luxury, or, you know, my needs are your luxury. That kind of a gap is building up. To an extent, I see that at some point in conference, the material responsibilities and the devotion service seem to be confronting each other, where I have to take a decision, in which case, in some extreme cases, it looks like I have to drop the material responsibility in order to carry on the devotion service itself. And it's getting tougher and tougher, Prabhu. So I just wanted to kind of hear your opinion and wisdom from the scriptures as to how it can be best handled.
Principally speaking, normally, as far as possible, we should try to balance the Varnashram Dharma, Bhagavata Dharma. Sometimes there are situations in the world, in different people's life, when it becomes very difficult to perform the Varnashram Dharma, especially becomes a great obstacle to perform the Bhagavata Dharma. So at that time, we give preference to the Bhagavata Dharma and drop the Varnashram Dharma. That is the principle. That is the principle of Sharanagati, which we see in the Shastra. But before we stopping the Varnashram Dharma, sometimes we have to see all the possibilities. Is there any way by which I can balance? Again, Varnashram Dharma, by what I mean is that definitely in the current times, the Kali Yuga, the ideal way to practice Varnashram Dharma is difficult. But whatever extent, there are different, everything can be performed in different standards, different levels of standards. Just say, for example, Krishna also gives different levels of standards for Bhakti Yoga, the 12th chapter of the Gita. Fix your mind on me. If you cannot do that, fix your intelligence. If you cannot do that, perform sadhana bhakti. If you cannot do that, work for me. If you cannot do that, at least sacrifice for some good cause. Krishna gives various standards. Similarly, when we talk about Varnashram Dharma, there are various standards. So, it is not that we are expecting one should perform in a very ideal way. Whatever standards one can perform, instead of neglecting whatever we can perform, whatever standard we perform, it will help others. Oneself, it will help others. Just like when we are telling some people to start chanting, it's not that we tell, oh, you have to, in the beginning itself, you have to start chanting 16 rounds. we tell them, okay, you start chanting one round. And then we tell them to increase to 2 rounds. And 3 rounds. Slowly we tell them to increase the standard. So similarly, the same principle applies for Varnashram Dharma. So what level of standard we can practice currently, at that level we can practice. And then due course of time, if it is possible, we can increase our standard. So but the principle, Bhagavata Dharma, what Anukul Yasya Sankalpa, Pratikul Yasya Varjanam. Whatever is savable for Krishna, we accept it. Whatever is unfavorable, we reject it. Even if Varnashram is unfavorable, we reject it. By default, Varnashram cannot be unfavorable, because Varnashram will be favorable for Bhakti. But in certain exceptional circumstances, Varnashram will be unfavorable for Bhakti. At that time, we reject Varnashram and we give preference to Bhakti. But before, sometimes in a for making some big decision in one's life, sometimes like family, one has to consult some trustworthy people who can maybe give different options, different solutions, whether any way out. That can be told by facing the details of the present situation. This one in general. Did it answer your question?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhu, just one follow-up question, Prabhu, if you don't mind. So, I have been just contemplating my situation, Prabhu. So, generally, we hear from some of our Guru Maharaj lectures, we hear that bhakti is independent of karma. So, if I have to relate my situation, Prabhu, doesn't it look like karma does constrain the extent, or at least the way in which the bhakti is performed? Can we not say that, or is it a wrong understanding, Prabhu?
There's a Siddhanta and the practical reality. Siddhanta is bhakti is independent of karma. Bhakti is swarat. But the practical reality is that most of us, we become affected, our bhakti becomes affected by our material situation in this world. Simple thing, for example, when you don't sleep in the night properly. Bhakti is independent of everything, but practically speaking, when you don't sleep properly, our chanting gets affected. That means our chanting is dependent on sleep. So practically it affects. Similarly, suppose you don't eat prasadam, suppose the person is fasting. But practically, bhakti is independent. But then on a practical level, for many devotees, we do get affected by bodily needs, that is sleep or food, or sometimes certain, say, unstable situation in the family. It affects our consciousness. There is one. The Siddhanta is that a devotee is what? Yasman no dvijate loko, lokan no dvijate chayaha. Harsha marsha bayo dvege muktoya sajame priya. 12th chapter, this verse comes. The ideal devotee is that he does not give trouble to anybody, he does not harm anybody, he does not disturb others, and he is also not disturbed by others. This is the ideal quality of a devotee is mentioned. Because bhakti is independent, a devotee's consciousness is independent, he cannot be disturbed by others. But the practical scenario, sometimes when there is some situation in our office or certain family existing relationships, it does affect our consciousness. Consciousness becomes filled with negativity, revenge, etc. So definitely the Siddhanta is true. But to what extent our bhakti is independent of surrounding, that shows that how much we are advancing. So therefore, there is a need of a practical stability in our material life in order to practice bhakti. That is why Prabhupada mentioned, emphasized the importance of varnashrama. Prabhupada, like when he was in the deathbed, he could maintain his pure Krishna consciousness without eating, without drinking for many days. He could even translate. That was because he was in a liberated platform. But he could see that other devotees are not in the platform. They need a stability from varnashram in order to sustainably practice bhakti. Therefore, he was inquiring about what is the prasadam menu for the devotees. He was inquiring about that. And there are statements of Prabhupada when some sannyasi fell down from his position. Prabhupada said that, oh, it is not easy to become a Vaishnava. You need varnashram in order to become a Vaishnava. There's a statement. With the statement, siddhantically it is wrong because bhakti is independent of varnashram. But Prabhupada is speaking from a practical point of view, based on the situation of the devotees over there. That they need the stability from varnashram in order to sustainably practice bhakti. Otherwise, why did he fall down from his position? That means he was not properly situated like the Prabhupada. This is what I can understand.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yes.
Prabhu, you said devotional service entails that in Bhagavad Gita. That
can you speak louder?
You said in the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter that devotional service fixing the mind and intelligence. But then sometimes we hear that we don't surrender the intelligence, but we surrender with intelligence. So how does the verse, that verse you say, the verse and that things go together, Prabhu?
Krishna is saying that fix your mind on me. If you cannot do that, fix your
mind and intelligence.
If you cannot do that, fix your intelligence on me. If you cannot do that, perform sadhana bhakti.
Yes, but how that they're saying that we do not surrender our intelligence, but we surrender with intelligence. So how does these two go together? Because most of the time we hear that, Prabhu, I do not understand. So I
don't know who says that actually. Here what I was saying is that how Krishna is giving the different levels actually, how Krishna's accommodating nature. Suppose if Krishna had given only one option, fix your mind on me. Most people would be unfit to practice bhakti. Of Krishna's accommodation nature, he says that if you cannot do that, do this, etc. So your point, surrendering your intelligence, surrendering with intelligence?
No, Prabhuji, I'm going to say again. Sorry, maybe the voice is not clear. The saying that I hear from the other devotees. I don't remember the devotee's name, but I hear that the is saying that we surrender. We don't surrender our intelligence, but we surrender with intelligence.
Yes, completed.
But then that verse is saying that fix your mind and intelligence through the devotional service. And there's so many other options also given in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12. So I didn't understand these two things.
Sometimes what I can guess is that sometimes we go to Krishna, sometimes we are going through a certain problem in our life. And we tell Krishna, please solve the problem in this way. That means we already decided the solution. This problem should be solved in this way. And we are telling Krishna, please solve the problem in this way. But from Krishna's point of view, the problem should be solved in a different way. But that means we don't have trust in Krishna's intelligence. We have more trust in our intelligence. Therefore, we are telling Krishna, oh, please solve the problem in this way. So that means we are trusting only Krishna's power, but not Krishna's intelligence. We are half trusting Krishna. In that way, we can understand.
So Prabhu, you are saying that the Krishna is saying, fix your mind and intelligence to devotional service.
Your voice is not audible actually.
Oh, the very Krishna low. Is saying, Hare Krishna, is it? It's Krishna is saying that fixing the mind and intelligence through devotional service. So how we can live by it, Prabhu? Is it possible live by it? That verse?
Fixing the intelligence on Krishna.
Fixing the intelligence and mind.
Fixing the intelligence on Krishna means using our intelligence to study the Shastras. Adyeshyate cha imam dharmyam samvadam avayohu. Using the intelligence to study Bhagavad Gita. By that we are worshipping Krishna. Using the intelligence to perform, say, different services for Krishna. The planning for a festival, writing computer program for maybe some Krishna service. Whatever talents we have, whatever... It could be artistic talent or something. Use our different types of intelligence, artistic intelligence or business intelligence. We use that intelligence in performing different activities and engage that in the service of Krishna. And using the intelligence to study the, understand the Shastras. Fixing the mind on Krishna means fixing the mind on Krishna to please Krishna and the devotees. Fixing the mind in thinking about Krishna, his qualities, his instructions, his form.
So is the intelligence is for the discrimination power, Prabhu. So what about the I may not be have that discriminate power so much, or may not be I'm so lazy, the intelligence doesn't violate so much. So I can still do the devotional service?
Yeah, whatever extent we have, we can use that. That is why, whatever we have, everybody has been given some intelligence. So that is why bhakti is not a process that, oh, if you cannot practice in this level, oh, there is no way for you. There are different levels, different standards given. So everybody can practice on their level.
So how come the jnana and jnana karma is mixing? Is because of the intelligence interfere? Jnana devotion and karma devotion is because of intelligence interfere?
No, jnana and karma.
Jnana karma devotion.
Bhakti should not be covered by jnana and karma. Pure bhakti should not be covered by jnana and karma. That is what Uttama Bhakti Rupa Goswami says.
But is it because of the our intelligence is interfering, is trying to interfere, and then we fall into the jnana karma devotion?
When we put more faith in certain, say, karma kanda activities than with bhakti, then the bhakti gets covered by karma kanda, karma. Or when we put, when we become absorbed in studying Shastra, with the aim to become a scholar, with the aim to get some fame, then that time bhakti becomes covered by that jnana. So like that.
And the bhakti is when we dependent on the authority like guru and the senior devotee, then we are not independent.
Bhakti is executed by under the guidance of the guru, sadhu and shastra. You can take the guidance of the trusted devotees, guru.
I'm so thankful.
Your voice is again and again very low actually.
Hare Krishna. So
bhakti should be performed under the guidance of guru, sadhu and shastra. We can actually, we can maybe approach some local trusted senior devotees, and then you can tell your specific situation, how to execute bhakti, and they can give some proper guidance.
Yes, I live far away from the worship, from the ISKCON place, but I will still find a way to reach there.
Because some specific details of the situation, maybe you have to tell somebody. Otherwise, the chanting of the holy names is there. Prabhupada's book, Srimad Bhagavatam, these are there. When a person is sincere, suppose there is no association of devotees, these things are also there and guide a person. But sometimes we can also take guidance of another devotee.
Okay.
Chandra Bhakti,
Hare Krishna.
So we'll stop here. So
okay, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru and Gauranga. Very, very nice class, Prabhuji. You just talk about so many different things about the bhaktas, all kinds of bhaktas, and you explain very logically and giving by different examples from the different scripture, and very, very nice question and answer. I don't take too much time for you because you have a night over there. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you. And thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your enlightening class today. And we are very, very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. And if your permission, and if nobody have any question, we can call the end the call. Okay, Vancha Kalpataru.
Vancha Kalpataru Kaksha, Krupa Sindhu Peye Vacha.
श्री चैतन्य भागवत की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, इस ग्रेस राधिका वल्लभ दास प्रभु जी की जय, गौरंगा हरि बोल, हरे कृष्ण,
गौरंगा नित्यानंद
नित्यानंद
एंडिंग द कॉल
गौरंगा.